Good morning, y'all. I am so thankful that each and every one of you are here today and have joined us here at Second Baptist for worship this morning. I have a couple quick announcements for you guys. First off, if you would join me in welcoming Casey Logston. She is our guest worship leader today. We're just going to be so blessed by her. It was amazing listening to her voice carry through the halls. It was just beautiful. Next off on my little announcements list, we have a reminder about next week. We are only having one service, and we're doing a reception afterwards to honor Scott as he's retiring. So if you guys would just join us in appreciating him and his family and just shedding that love that y'all all do so just so well. I know that we're all going to be missing him, but very excited to see what God's going to be doing in this awesome time of retirement for Scott. If you'll take a second and center yourself, take a deep breath as we prepare for worship today. The Lord be with you, and also with you. If you would, please stand and join me in today's call to worship. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great King over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
Sing Gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that calms all fears, that bids my sorrow cease. Tis music in the sinner's ears, tis life and health and peace. To God all glory, praise and love be now and ever given, by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven, the church in earth and heaven.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to be here, to worship you, to learn more about you, and to be with our people, God. We know that it isn't the building that makes the church, but it's the relationships and the fellowship that we have with fellow believers here. God, we are so thankful for the love that you've given us that allows us to love one another. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Sing we joyfully unto God, we sing so joyfully unto God, to God, so joyfully unto God, so joyfully unto God. Joyfully unto God, we sing so joyfully unto God, to God, so joyfully unto God, so joyfully unto God. Sing we happily,
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 happily unto God. Now sing we happily,
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 happily unto God. Now sing we happily,
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 happily unto God. Now sing we happily,
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 happily unto God. We sing to God. We sing. Sing we joyfully unto God, we sing so joyfully unto God, to God, so joyfully unto God, so joyfully unto God. Sing we joyfully unto God.
We sing,
we sing,
we sing,
we sing so joyfully unto God, to God, so joyfully unto God, so joyfully unto God, so joyfully unto God.
Invite all the children to come down for a less well-rehearsed duet. Yep. How are you, Tessa? Let's have a seat, okay, Eva? Hi, girls. Hi, Miss Sarah. Very good. Did you hear the song that we just sang together? Wasn't it so good? We sing joyfully unto God. Isn't that so cool? Well, today I was thinking about something I think is important. And it's Psalm 100 says, worship the Lord with gladness. What is gladness? Bear, what's gladness? Do you know what gladness is? You're a smart kiddo. You've got smart parents. That's, you got it. Gladness is like, you're glad you have a Nintendo. Gladness is like joy. Gladness is happiness. And when we come together to worship the Lord, there is gladness. And there, I just want to share with you one thing that makes me glad. Can I share with you one thing that makes me glad? One thing that makes me glad is donuts. Would you like a donut? Okay. Let's go have a donut and worship the Lord with gladness. Amen? Let's go. If you can have one.
Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Salah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned to the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Worship the Lord with gladness. Let's pray together. You are worthy of worship. You are worthy of all honor and praise. You are worthy of joy. You are worthy of all gratitude. You are worthy of all dancing. You are worthy of all donuts. And you are also worthy of our pain. Your worthy is wide enough for our suffering. Your worthiness is deep enough for our difficulty. And we bring that also before you, seeking your comfort, seeking the reminder of your presence, asking again for your healing and your justice, which you are faithful to give. You are worthy, and you have given worth to all people and all things, and together we worship your name with gladness. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. Thank you.
From Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest in that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Indeed, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Climbing up the mountain, children, gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder. Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Can't you see I'm trying to make make it each day. Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. Oh, brother, won't you help me? 'Cause the road is rough, the mountain is steep, and the going gets tough. But when I see him face to face, I'm gonna shout all over the place. I'm climbing up the mountain, children. Gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder. Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Can't you see I'm trying to make it each day? Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. Oh, sister, won't you help me to carry the load over the hard and the rocky road? When I arrive, he'll wipe my tears away. It's gonna be a happy day, a happy day. I'm climbing up the mountain, children. Gotta reach my heavenly home. I'm climbing up and working harder. Lord, don't ever leave me alone. Don't you see I'm trying to make it each day? Even though trials pass my way, I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home. I'm gonna keep on climbing up the mountain till I make it on home.
Thank you, Abraham. And Abraham is moving to Arizona soon and has been a part of our scholar ministry here. And just want to thank you for sharing your gifts with our community. And also want to thank you, church, for providing for the scholar's ministry. It really is a beautiful ministry. Abraham, we hear from other scholars after they leave. And so you're to stay in touch. One of the things we hear from scholars after they leave is, I can't find another church like Second B. And that's not an excuse not to go to church, but I want to thank my friend Corey Norman and Jordan Arlen, who are running our sound and our live stream today, as our Rachel and Zach are enjoying some vacation. I want to join with Savannah and you, church, in welcoming Casey Loxton. She is just a delight and a joy. This week, she is our guest. Okay, and then she'll begin as our interim director for music and worship on the 11th of July after Scott retires. And Scott had a previously scheduled retreat that he was scheduled to lead from sometime many months ago, and he's doing that in Atlanta, and I'm proud of him. He never misses a Sunday, and I'm glad that he did. And he is just a rock, just a mighty river of faith. He's a Psalm 1 kind of tree. Person, at least in my life. And next week, we'll obviously gather to worship the Lord, and we will appropriately recognize and appreciate Scott. So grateful for you joining in on that. I have spent most of the last week at a Baptist denominational meeting. Don't be jealous. I have some thoughts about the Baptist tradition here today. I wrote this sermon before I left to go to that meeting. I wrote this sermon based on an encounter I had last Sunday afternoon, and I want to tell you about it. four Sundays of the month for as many years as I've been here, at least. Second Baptist, our clergy, our pastors and our ministers, Savannah has helped do this, Cheryl Scott, Jordan has done this, Larry has been there to lead. But on the fourth Sundays of the month, Second Baptist provides the worship, helps lead the worship of the Lord at Raider Ranch. And I know there's a strong rivalry between Raider Ranch and Carillon. I'm not here to pick sides. I enjoy watching them do their water balloon fights and so on and so forth. Jim Powell's got the Carillon covered for, you know, and we provide some wonderful ministry there. But we just love going out to worship with these friends at Raider Ranch. Sometimes we do the one at the Isle at Raider Ranch. It's a little bit earlier in the day. Jenny Dahlgren played at Raider Ranch for years now, is at the Isle. One of my favorite things is, and if you've been there, oh, it's just fabulous. You know, walk in, you check in, and kind of walk through the dining hall. And then you get back in the back where they have a bar. And Ruth Schirmeyer and friends, at about 3:30 p.m., turned the bar into the chapel. And if you can't amen to that, you won't amen anything all morning. You know, it's just amazing. And so we have worship out there, and they're bougie out there at Raider Ranch, for sure. And they have one-upped us. They have one-upped us. Because worship out there at Raider Ranch, they have these things called hymnals. Fancy. And you can just, it's amazing, Larry, Mark, you can just call out a number. You know. So I mean, it's so sweet. It's such a sweet time. And David Cobb, member of our church, passes out the hymnals as you walk in. It's a beautiful time of prayer. Just love going out there and grateful for that ministry. And so this past Sunday, I noticed something, and it wouldn't let me go. In our Baptist heritage, as part of sort of the Protestant Reformation, 1500s, was this movement to assert one of the primary tenets of the Protestant Reformation is that Scripture is authoritative. The Scripture is a foundation for all matters of faith and salvation and for the collective life of the community of Christ. And namely, this was sort of a reform, sort of moving away from, not necessarily, but suggesting that Scripture is preeminent above and before the teachings of the church and the traditions of the church, most notably some yahoo who gets up there and talks for a little while, okay? And so the Protestant Reformation sort of makes this wonderful assertion. And as part of the Protestant sort of way of faith, we celebrate this. And however, our Swiss ancestors in faith, brothers and sisters who sort of are the foundation of the Baptist tradition known as Anabaptist Swiss Brethren, they sort of went a step further and really moved away from the creeds of the church, particularly, as you may remember, just last Trinity Sunday. We gather right here around the Eucharistic table, and we celebrated the Nicene Creed, this statement of faith from about the year 300-ish that the church sort of developed, a sort of a statement of what it means to be together and to be in faith. And our Baptist ancestors developed, you know, more or less a tagline that in this Anabaptist faith, we have no creed but the Bible. And as we read the Nicene Creed just a few weeks ago, we said, hey, we celebrate the creeds, the teachings of the church. We don't necessarily prescribe to any teachings. The most Baptistic of all responses would not to be have a statement of faith or creedal statement at all, because Baptists would say no creed but the Bible. Now, there are strengths and weaknesses with the creeds, with these statements of faith that have been produced for thousands of years. As a member of a spiritual tradition that is acreedal, I'm probably not your best person to walk through the strengths and the weaknesses. I am your best person to talk through the strengths and the weaknesses of Baptist life, of which there are many. And so this statement, no creed but the Bible, it's problematic in some regards. Philosophically speaking, we'll use Hollywood in this regard. I am Spartacus. I'm not Spartacus. We'll use rock and roll. I am Iron Man. Are Ozzy Osbourne jokes welcome here in this church? Just, we're an inclusive community, okay? That's all right. No. I can't prove that I am Spartacus, now can I? But you can't prove that I'm not. And this is the strength and the weakness of our Baptist sort of tenet of no creed but the Bible. You can't really use the Bible to prove itself. This is a philosophical inconsistency, which is why Baptists have tended towards that the proof is in the pudding through an experience with Christ. That all Scripture is interpreted through the lens of Christ. And if we experience the Christ through the Spirit, if we experience the Christ, not just personally, although it can be personally, if we experience Christ personally, we also experience Christ communally. That gives the judge, that gives the meaning to the text. So the text is alive through this experience that we share with Christ. If you experience me to be Spartacus, then I am. If I experience you to be Iron Man, then you are. If we experience the text to be important, necessary, foundational, central, choose a synonym. If we experience the text to be meaningful for faith, then it will be. Which brings us back to Church in the Bar there at Raider Ranch. So last Sunday, I was just sort of flipping through, and this is an exact replica. I did not steal. This is an exact replica of the Baptist hymnal they have there in the bar church at Raider Ranch. Remember, our Baptist tradition, a creedal, no creed but the Bible. And there I was, opened the table, the front cover, and someone had, at their own accord and volition, someone had printed off, made copies, cut, and taped the Apostles' Creed right there in the front of the Baptist hymnal. And we're grateful for the very generous church in town that donated those hymnals. I won't tell you what church it is. They're neither second nor third nor fourth, but they probably wouldn't love the whole concept of a church in a bar if you're keeping track at home. And there in the front of the Baptist hymnal, the Church in the Bar, is a taped copy of the Apostles' Creed. It is absolutely inappropriate, and maybe you've experienced this, and I know none of you have ever done this, but it's absolutely inappropriate. When you go out to lunch, Sunday afternoon after worship or any other time, it is absolutely inappropriate to skip out on giving a tip and instead give a track that says you're somehow separated from God. But if you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, at least for a minute, you know that Sunday afternoons have an awful reputation regarding generosity. Now, I know that's not second B people. You all tip 100%, right? So we're not going to give tracks to our waiters. However, if you want to make your own copies of the Apostles' Creed and tape them up all over town, you have my blessing. If you get a fine for littering, for taping up your own copies of the Apostles' Creed, I want to offer to pay for that fine with the church credit card. We had some vandalism in our property here this summer. Maybe you've seen it. Someone spray painted a bunch of stuff out on our fence. You saw it out here. Maybe it was up for a little bit. And Mike Spann, our director of operations, he's amazing, and his team got it down. And the fence looks good. But there, as the graffiti was sort of standing up out there on the fence, for a few days, I was wondering, what if we don't wash it off? And we just allow this graffiti to be on the fence. And instead, right next to the graffiti on either side, what if we just start spray painting other messages? On the third day, Christ rose again. You know, such that these statements, core to our faith, stand right alongside all the other statements that are present in our world. So here I am, captivated by the Baptist hymnal and the church in the bar with the Apostles' Creed. One of the things about faith, at least for me, that has been somewhat enriching is sort of understanding some of these words of faith that seem to, at least in some regard, or maybe initially, have lost some sort of meaning or function in our world. I'm captivated by this scripture in Ephesians 4. As good Baptists, you of course know it by heart. But Ephesians says, so Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, in order to build up the church until all, which means all reach unity in the faith and knowledge and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These gifts were given, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These gifts were given that all might be built up to experience the fullness of Christ. And maybe, and I have been in that season of life, and maybe you're in that season of life, where you hear the words like apostle, evangelist, and prophet, and your stomach turns a little bit. Or maybe you're not in that season of life, but maybe at least those three words in particular, what do those mean? What value do these words have in our world and in our life today? I'm glad that you asked. You'll get 5 points this morning. The word prophet, throughout the Hebrew text especially, including the New Testament, the word prophet throughout our scriptures is one who sees and says what they see. Prophecy, for whatever reason, has sort of has this connotation of futuristic, metaphorical, apocalyptically laden language. For the most part in our scripture, that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is the one who comes, particularly to the king or to the queen or to the one in power, the one who comes and says what they see. So over and over again, we hear the prophet come to the king and say, you got too many wives, you've got too many slaves, you've got too many chariots and too many buildings. This is not what the Lord desires. All of those wives, all of those slaves, all of those chariots, all those buildings ultimately will fall in upon themselves. This is not good. The prophet says what they see. So what do you see? What do you see? Brown bear, brown bear. What do you see? This is prophecy. That you would name, that you would speak to what you see. It's not scary. You're all prophets. You can do it. Or maybe you're not in a season in which you're seeing or speaking. That's fine. There are others around you who see things. There are others in our world who speak to what they see. What a great word, prophecy. Evangelists, stop squirming, evangelists. Evangelism in our text has nothing to do with magic tricks and making guilting people into religion. Evangelists in our text, you see, this word actually came from sort of the Roman occupation. And as Rome occupied by force and by sword towns and villages and nation states, messengers of Rome, who were known as evangelists, would come in and say, the good news, Caesar is Lord. And our faith took that. And sharing good news says, no, no, Caesar is not Lord. Putin is not Lord. The president is not Lord. Christ is Lord. This is good news. Evangelism is telling the good stories. Evangelism is telling the good stories. And what if at Thanksgiving dinner we didn't argue about yada yada? What if we got around and we told the good stories? The stories that inspire, the stories that encourage, the stories that, as Ephesians says, build one another up. I'm going to go off script here just a second. Early service, they didn't get this. You're welcome. We had a protester out this morning. A year ago this month, we had some awful protesters out here saying awful things on a megaphone, which is against the law. Here in Lubbock, and a member of our congregation helped peacefully do what was right. There were a couple younger couples who had been visiting our church during that time, and although I was nervous about what these individuals were saying in general, I was nervous about these newer folks having this experience for the first time at our church. So after worship, Sunday afternoon, I called them both. And called the first couple, and the first one said to me, he answered the phone, and he said, Jake, we were talking about it, and we think we want to be at a church where there are protesters. Yeah. I called the next couple, and she answered the phone, and they were together walking in with their three-year-old daughter on the side of the building where those individuals were saying awful things. And they were walking in over here, and I had heard that the protesters were yakking at them, and I called and I said, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm so sorry. And she said, Jake, it was awesome. She said, we were walking with our three-year-old daughter, who should never have to hear those things, by the way. And one of them on the microphone said, that church practices idolatry. And the daughter looked up at her mommy and said, Mommy, are we going to Dollar Tree? Those are the good stories. That's evangelism out of the mouths of babes, right? I mean, those are the good stories. You have good stories to tell. I say we keep the word evangelist. What do you say? A pastor is a great word. It's a great word. I say we don't get rid of pastors just yet, okay? A pastor is derived from the word shepherd. The shepherds are those who notice who's on the edges, who's hurt, having a tough time keeping up with the flock, who's thinking about maybe going a different way. The shepherd is the one who nudges and encourages. Ironically, here I'm standing in the middle of the room and I've got the spotlight. This is not what shepherds do. Shepherds are not in the middle. Shepherds do not have the spotlight. The shepherds are the ones on the outside noticing who's on the edge. Who could use a little love, a little nudge, a little encouragement? Yeah, what a great word, pastor, shepherd. Who do you see? Who's on the edge? Who's struggling to keep up? Who can you encourage? How can we encourage you? Keep up, hang in there. I say we keep the word pastor. Teachers is the fifth one listed in the text. It's the fourth one for us to consider now. Teachers. What an incredible model of faith, education. Education, I think, is a resurrection concept that we die to what we think we know, that we might be raised up to a new level of consciousness by the transforming of our minds. Yeah, what can you let go of that you might receive the consciousness of Christ? Wow, let's keep that word. And finally, the apostle. We get this word in our gospel text today. It says Jesus sends the 72. This word shows up as a Greek, as a verb and as a noun in our Greek New Testament. And the word to send is the word apostle. And it's in the active tense, Christ sends. It's also in the passive tense, the ones who have been sent. So apostle is a great word. It's one who sends and the one who is sent. So if you send your kids out in the backyard to clean up the toys, which they never do, you're an apostle. You send your sales rep down to the sales rep territory thing, you know, to check on customers, you're an apostle. That's pretty cool. You send a text message, a phone call, an email, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of comfort, a word of presence. You are an apostle. You see, you're not Baptist. Some of you have been trying to tell me that you're not Baptist, but you sit in the same chair. You ignore me at the liquor store. You're not Baptist. You're not Red Raiders. You're not West Texans. You're apostles. As Christ sent the 72, I think we can interpret this that we too are sent. We are sent to be people of peace in our families. We are sent to be people of peace in our workplaces. We are sent to be people of peace in our neighborhoods and our world. We're apostles. And you don't have to wear the funny hat. And there are just two final things, two remarks about this sentness. First, Jesus says when the disciples are sent out, the 72 are sent out, Jesus says here in our gospel reading, he says, the harvest is plentiful. Which I think peels back the layer and allows us to see the way that Christ envisions reality. Plentiful. I think Jesus sees the world full of potential, full of opportunity, full of blossom, full of that which is ready for harvest. Is there difficulty and injustice and struggle? Yes. And I think Christ even sees that and says, oh, we could resurrect this too. So what a great way to engage with reality, to see the plenty, to see the opportunity, to see the potential as we are sent into this world. Oh, that is good news. Second, here in Luke it says that the 72 are sent out to proclaim that the kingdom of God has drawn near. At the beginning of Mark, the kingdom of God is synonymous. Jesus says, go and tell them the good news, comma. This is appositional. This is synonymous. Go and tell them the good news, the kingdom of God has drawn near. And so throughout the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the nearness of the kingdom of God is essentially the same as what we call the gospel. Okay? Good news. We have good news to tell. Isn't that just wherever you are and however you are, I mean, you have been sent not with bad news. You've got good news. And I think the news that we have been given is so good that the voices from the bar and the voices from the church don't join together out of a Baptist hymnal in praising the Lord. And in the front of that Baptist hymnal, in the church house and in the bar, are these sacred words of faith. I invite you to stand as we join together in proclaiming these words of faith with the church, universal, historic, and present. I believe in God, eternal, almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Jesus serving in his stead. Here on earth applying principles of love, visible expression, God still rules above.
Let us pray together. God, we have so much to be grateful for this morning, for Casey, Caleb, Abraham, their offerings. We're amazing and we thank you for them. God, we thank you for the life of Ken Olson and all that he has offered to this family during his life. We ask that you continue to bless Charlie during this time of loss. God, we're grateful for the hymns, for creeds, for bar churches, for all churches. And we are grateful for those who give of their time, their souls, their hearts, their listening ears, their prayers, and their monetary offerings. We ask that you bless those givers and those gifts. Let them serve what your Son has tried to teach us in the Bible, through pastors, shepherds, and apostles. To love one another. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
invite you to stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another. So much, Casey. Friends, you have been sent. You are the peace of Christ. Amen.